insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. I would like to welcome you to the program. Inshallah, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to benefit from a few more of the verses of the Holy Quran. First, let's hear the verses.
وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ.
We arrived at verse number 42, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And do not mix the truth with falsehood, nor conceal the truth while you know. We were explaining that these verses, from verse 40 onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins addressing Bani Israel, the children of Israel, or the Jews. And I'd like to remind once again that this surah was revealed in Medina, where the Holy Prophet came in direct contact with the Jews once he arrived there. And the Jewish tribes there ended up, a good number of them, if not the majority, not accepting the call of the Holy Prophet. Although, as we explained in the previous session, the Jews had actually moved to that region, although that was not their homeland, that was not where they were situated. They moved there purposely because they knew, as the Holy Quran says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They knew the Holy Prophet, the signs that they had from the previous prophets, that such a prophet will come in this region with all these characteristics. They knew him so well that the Holy Quran says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They knew him the way they would know their children. So they had moved to that region specifically so that when this prophet comes, they will be the first to believe in him and be on his side. And it is interesting that although the Holy Prophet started his message, his prophethood in Mecca, because they had known that he will actually establish his religion more actively from Medina, and that's why they were based in Medina. So although they had gone there for that reason, when the message came, they actually denied and they disbelieved in the message of the Holy Prophet. So at this time, when especially the scholars of Bani Israel are addressed in this particular verse, which says, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقِّ, and do not mix the truth with falsehood. When these people, the scholars especially of Bani Israel, saw the prophet and the signs, they realized for a fact that this is the prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised in the previous messages that he will be coming. But they didn't want to accept, and they wanted to justify to their own people as why they're not accepting this call. How would you do that? You would mix falsehood with truth. Or you would more correctly, You would mix truth with falsehood. Some of the explanations that we see, as we know, I want to give an example of this. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when Jesus came, He told His people that there will be someone coming by the name of Ahmad. The verse says, Ismuhu Ahmad. His name is Ahmad. This was revealed in that message. When we look at the translations of some of the statements regarding something coming in the future, we see that, at least in the English language, the word that is used is truth. The truth will come. Everything in that setting, in that explanation of the Bible, the current Bible, is, you know, parts of it are true, truth. We don't believe that the entire New Testament or the Old Testament has been altered by man, but parts of it were altered, okay? So there's truth and falsehood. Why is that done? That is because, as Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, in a very interesting narration says, that had, this is a general principle, if anyone approaches with people with pure falsehood, no one will accept. It is when you mix falsehood with truth, there is some truth that everyone accepts, they can realize that this is the truth. You mix in falsehood with that to be able to present your idea, and people accept that. So when they, what they did in that case, for example, is that they started explaining the word Ahmad instead of taking it as a name of someone, which is what it's supposed to be. Well, Ahmad has got a literal meaning. Let's take that meaning instead of giving that as a name. Say, oh, Ahmad doesn't mean an individual, a person with that name. Ahmad actually means truth, let's say. So the scholars of Bani Israel, in order to present their views and the people not reject them as scholars, because the whole purpose of them not accepting the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was because they would be losing their status in society. They thought that if they start believing in this prophet, well, they will be the same as some of the others. They won't be in control of things. Before, when they, if they don't believe the prophet, before the prophet came, actually, whatever wanted to happen, these scholars were in control of it. They would say, you do this, you do that, or, you know, pretty much in control of everything in society, and that religious society of the Jews. So they did not want to accept the call of the Holy Prophet because they wanted to keep their status. And in order to do that, if you reject something that is the truth and people can see that is the truth, then what will happen is they will start believing the truth and they will actually leave you. So in order to keep that from happening and keep the people on their side, what they did was they mixed the truth that these people believed in, that there will be someone coming, and that's why they had moved, and that's, they all knew why they had moved. They mixed it with falsehood and they deviated a large number of people through this way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing them says, لا تلبسوا الحق بالباطل وتكتموا الحق وأنتم تعلمون. When you mix in falsehood with the truth, you are hiding part of the truth. So He says, don't mix falsehood with the truth that everyone believes in. And do not conceal the truth while you know. And they exactly knew what the truth was, but they decided to alter that and mix it with falsehood. There's a few points, I think, that are beneficial from this verse for us to take. One, as individuals, sometimes we start to justify things for ourselves. Things that we know are the truth. We know that is right, that we're not doing. We know what we're doing is wrong. But we justify it. How do we justify it? We mix in, the same procedure happens on an individual level as well. We mix in something that has to do with that. Let me give an example in the religious environment. Some people who are very religious, let's say, they... We see sometimes they keep from doing some of the mustahabbat. In some extreme cases, maybe even some of the wajibat. Let's say they don't pray the nawafil. They don't pray, they don't fast any mustahabbat, they don't do any, you know, they just do the bare minimum of the wajibat. Okay, what is the justification that some of them mention? Is that, oh, if I do that, then I'll start feeling good about myself, and that's bad, and so I'll just leave it. Or in public settings, if I do it, then I'm going to be doing it for others, then, so in order to keep from that greater sin, which is Riyah, to do things for people instead of for God, so I'll just stay away from this mustahab altogether. See, part of that statement is true. Okay, it is true. We're supposed to stay away from that haram act, which is Riyah, and doing things for people to like, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is true that feeling good about yourself and the actions that we've done is not good. Okay, and we're supposed to stay away from that. But the conclusion, putting that as a premise and concluding that I'll just stay away from the mustahabat, that piece is wrong. Why? You've mixed some falsehood with that. We are supposed to practice the mustahabat and at the same time stay away from that aspect. Stay away from doing that for people. Stay away from feeling good afterwards of what we've done. This is shaitan that's putting it, oh, if you do this, then what's going to happen is that you're going to feel good about yourself. So just don't do that. This is one very small example. So on an individual level, we should realize and we should pay more attention to the justifications that we do of our actions. Nobody likes to do something that is absolutely wrong. Okay, so when we do things that are absolutely wrong, we try to justify them. We should watch out for that. The second point, which is on social level, as I said, this verse is saying, referring to or addressing the scholars of Bani Israel because they are the ones that would be able to do this. It says, "La talbisu al-haqqa bil-batil wa taktumu al-haqq." Those scholars were the ones that were able to mix falsehood with the truth that everyone believed in. We should be careful of that. We shouldn't put our minds and our understandings aside and accept someone as a scholar who is not ma'sum. Okay, who is not ma'sum. The imams, we have logical and rational explanation why we are supposed to accept everything they say, and whatever they say is the truth. We have to identify who that imam is. There are signs of the imam we can't get into right now. But once we know that that is the imam, whatever they say, that is the truth. Okay, and we will find in many cases at our level of understanding why what they say is the truth, or how what they say is the truth. However, individuals that are not the imams, they are not ma'sum. We should keep that in mind. So, if they say something and that doesn't sound right to me, I shouldn't just say that because he's the scholar, I'm just going to accept that. No, I should ask why and how, where did you get that from? Try to come to an understanding. Because if we get in the habit of accepting whatever the scholars say without any type of justification, without knowing why, without having a reasonable answer, that is what the sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, the ahadith, refer to as taqleed. Sometimes those ahadith are misinterpreted as saying the taqlid that we do in fiqh, which is follow what the opinion of the scholar is in practical laws. That is what those narrations are referring to as taqlid, which is wrong. No, the taqlid that those are talking about is not the issue of fiqh. The issue of fiqh is a very reasonable and logical procedure that any sane human being would do. If you're not an expert in medicine, you refer to a physician and get their use their expertise to find out what you're supposed to do if you have an illness. If you're not an expert in computer sciences, if your computer's got a flaw, you would refer to an IT technician to see what you're supposed to do in that particular case. However, that doesn't mean that if I have a doubt in my mind that I should silence my doubt and not ask why, not try to find an answer. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see the truth, to be able to, and we ask him to help us identify truth from falsehood so that we won't fall into the trap of justifying falsehood with the clothing of truth for ourselves, and also to be able to identify the falsehood in the sayings of others so we won't be following the wrong people. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, wa shukru lillah, ala ma hadana, subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, 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 subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, wa shukru lillah, ala ma hadana, subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, 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 subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, wa shukru lillah, ala ma hadana, subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah.